So we're up to the part that goes, now hear the wisdom of yoga. Armed with this understanding, you will shatter your karmic bonds. Karmic bonds, I mean, that's what keeps us bound. Every time we do something that's not 100% conscious, the arts are we've created some karma. It's very easy to create karma. On this path, it says, no effort is wasted. I love this, it's so uplifting. No effort is wasted, no gain is ever reversed. Even a little of this practice will shelter you from great sorrow. It's so comforting. Just make a little tiny effort towards awareness. Just make a little tiny effort towards that one-pointed, clear seeing. And that little bit of effort, even that little bit of effort, again, it's that Tara carries us across. Even a little of this practice will shelter you from great sorrow. No gain is ever reversed. That's profound. That's a state of timelessness. Because when we're in the limitation of time, gain gets reversed all the time. That's the thing about the yogic path. It's the path of living with a sense of freedom in everything that we do. And in that stance, no gain is ever reversed. No effort is ever wasted. We're always sheltered from great sorrow. He goes on to say, resolute understanding is single-pointed. But the thoughts of the irresolute are many-branched and endless. Resolute understanding, that's the upsurge of insight. Resolute understanding is single-pointed. But the thoughts of the irresolute, the old vrittis, are many-branched and endless. Every thought gives birth to another thought. So again, it's really about cultivating that single-pointed awareness where all the energy of consciousness coalesces and just moves in that very clear stream. That's what we're looking for. That's that. That's yoga, that's union with of the self. And then it gets very interesting. It's going to give a very interesting critique of systems, any system. It's going to use religious systems, because again, this text is coming out of a religious system. But it's really applying to any system. Foolish men talk of religion in cheap, sentimental words, leaning on the scriptures. God speaks here, and speaks here alone. Once we're in that kind of a system, we're in a closed system. Foolish men talk of religion in cheap, sentimental words, leaning on the scriptures. God speaks here and speaks here alone. And then it really gets to the juice here. Driven by desire for pleasure and power, caught up in ritual, they strive to gain heaven, but rebirth is the only result of their striving. And by rebirth, we don't have to buy into reincarnation. Rebirth just refers to we create more karma, so we have to go through the same bloody lessons over and over and over again, because we never get them. And again, in the context of, again, he's talking of foolish men talk of religion, leaning on the scriptures. God speaks here, and God speaks here alone. But no, he's saying, these people who think they're so enlightened are actually driven by desire for pleasure and power. Caught up in ritual, they strive to gain heaven. They're caught in duality. They're caught in a quest for power or pleasure. And rebirth is the only result of their striving. And it's true, you know, striving just begets more striving. Striving creates suffering. Whenever we strive, we're setting ourselves up for suffering. They are lured by their own desires, besotted by the scripture's words. Their minds have not been made clear in the practice of meditation. It's saying, you know, don't get caught up in externals, even externals that proclaim their truth. The scriptures dwell in duality. Be beyond all opposites, Arjuna, anchored in the real and free from all thoughts of wealth and comfort. The scriptures dwell in duality. Be beyond all opposites, Arjuna, anchored in the real and free from all thoughts of wealth and comfort. And it doesn't just have to be wealth and comfort. Free from all thoughts, a goal that we strive for. As unnecessary as a well is to a village on the banks of a river, so unnecessary are all the scriptures to someone who has seen the truth. It's really talking about how easy it is to think that we're following the quote-unquote right path. But if we haven't experienced that the luminosity of the truth that is, again, is that pulsation of consciousness deep inside of us. And when we're connected to that, we know we are connected to that. Without that, it's all dust. And now he's going to begin giving the yoga, karma of yoga, the yoga of action. You have a right to your actions, but never to your actions' fruits. Act for the action's sake, and do not be attached to inaction. It's interesting. One way that people who don't have clear understanding deal with this is they think, well, I won't do anything. I'll retire to the forest, I'll just stand in the tree pose for 35 years, and I'll become enlightened. And Krishna is saying, no, 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 no. Inaction as a reaction to action is still an attachment to a goal. So he's saying you have a right to your actions, even the action of inaction, but never to the fruit of that action. Self-possessed, resolute, act without any thought of results, open to success or failure. This equanimity is yoga, and that's really freedom. When we've really let go of success or failure, we're in that middle state, right? We're in the middle road. Self-possessed, resolute, act without any thought of results, open to success or failure. This equanimity is yoga. Now remember, he's talking to Arjuna on the battlefield, and he's giving these teachings to someone who's basically having a complete and total nervous breakdown. Because he's, the thought of having to kill his relatives is horrifying. And it is horrifying. But we need to move beyond the literal and understand that what we're killing is the idea of our own impotence. Right? That's what we're killing. The wise man lets go of all results, whether good or bad, and is focused on the action alone. Yoga is skill in action. The wise man whose insight is firm, relinquishing the fruits of action, is freed from the bondage of rebirth and attains the place beyond sorrow. When your understanding has passed beyond the thicket of delusions, there is nothing you need to learn from even the most sacred scripture. Indifferent to scriptures, your mind stands by itself, unmoving, absorbed in deep meditation. This is the essence of yoga. It's everything that we come across in Patanjali. It's the same idea. We don't want to be under the influence of the senses and the mind. We want to be living from that much deeper upsurge of awareness. And the more we clear the inner space, that upsurge of awareness just surges up stronger and stronger and stronger like a volcano. So I'm going to read you some Kabir, and Kabir is singing about the very same things that the Bhagavad Gita is giving teachings about. And again, this is directed right to those people who are caught up in their scriptures. I don't know what sort of a God we have been talking about. The caller calls in a loud voice to the Holy One at dusk. Why loud? Surely the Holy One is not deaf. He hears the delicate anklets that ring on the feet of an insect as it walks. Go over and over your beads, paint weird designs on your forehead, wear your hair matted, long, and ostentatious. But when deep inside you, there is a loaded gun, how can you have God? I don't know what sort of God we have been talking about. The caller calls in a loud voice to the Holy One at dusk. Why? Surely the Holy One is not deaf. He hears the delicate anklets that ring on the feet of an insect as it walks. Go over and over your beads, paint weird designs on your forehead, wear your hair matted, long, and ostentatious. But when deep inside you, there is a loaded gun, how can you have God? Friends, please tell me what I can do about this world I hold to and keep spinning out. It's all about attachment. I gave up sewn clothes and wore a robe, but I noticed one day the cloth was well woven. So I bought some burlap, but I still throw it elegantly over my shoulder. I pulled back my sexual longings, and now I discover that I'm angry a lot. I gave up rage, and now I notice that I am greedy all day. I worked hard at dissolving the greed, and now I am proud of myself. When the mind wants to break its link with the world, it still holds on to one thing. It's exactly what the Bhagavad Gita is talking about. Kabir says, listen, my friend, there are very few that find the path. And it's so true. It's the hardest thing. Cultivating clear awareness, the work of a lifetime. The spiritual athlete often changes the color of his clothes, and his mind remains gray and loveless. He sits inside a shrine room all day so that the guest has to go outdoors and praise the rocks. Or he drills holes in his ears. His hair grows enormous and matted. People mistake him for a goat. He goes out into wilderness areas, strangles his impulses, and makes himself neither male nor female. He shaves his skull, puts his robe in an orange vat, reads the Bhagavad Gita, and becomes a terrific talker. Kabir says, actually, you are going in a hearse to the country of death, bound hand and foot. We know so many people like this. We've been this ourselves. I was totally this way in the 70s and 80s. The spiritual athlete often changes the color of his clothes, and his mind remains gray and loveless. It's not about externals. He sits inside a shrine room all day, so that the guest has to go outdoors and praise the rocks. Or he drills holes in his ears, his hair grows enormous and matted. People mistake him for a goat. He goes out into the wilderness areas, strangles his impulses, and makes himself neither male nor female. This is all about striving and desire. This is desire for power. He shaves his skull, puts his robe in an orange vat, reads the Bhagavad Gita, and becomes a terrific talker. Kabir says, actually, you're going in a hearse to the country of death, bound hand and foot. You know, what did Kabir do? He sat at his loom, and he wove cloth. He just wove. He remained focused on his weaving. He was a total householder. It's the secret. Loss and gain, sickness and health, happy and sad, up and down. It's the endless cycle, day and night. And we experience them, but we don't want to be effective. We want to stay in the center. Not easy, but sublime. And you know, in order to enter into and live in that state, we have to do the inner work of clearing all the psycho-emotional samskaric debris in the inner space that blocks and occludes and hides that light of our awareness. And again, we say it over and over and over, year after year. The more we allow our mind and senses and all the desire and all the attachment, the more we allow that to just move in and merge into that upsurge of awareness, the more we live in freedom, the more we actually attain this thing called yoga.